Welcome to Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Society doesn't want you to blame anything but yourself. It's a trait, not mental health. People out there is not going to understand you until you let them know. You definitely got to take into account your mental health. You have to tune into your own mind. Hey, what's going on? It's your man Casanova Williams with another Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. First, of course, I got to thank everybody that's been rocking with me, still keeping me on the list, still listening to my podcast, keeping me relevant, even though I be taking hiatus. And I know I always say I'm going to dedicate time and effort to the podcast to do it more. And I have it, you know, and, you know, it is really a shame because right now a lot of things are busy. If you follow me on Instagram at CasanovaWilliams.com, you would definitely see or at CasanovaWilliams.com, or you follow me on Instagram or Facebook at Casanova Williams, you will see a lot going on. I manage some high profile artists. I have to be in New York next week. I have to, Rolling Loud weekend because I manage, the DJ there. I manage. It's just a lot going on. If you go to my my Instagram page, you'll see everything. I have a lot going on, and it's not that it's hard to do this. It's just that I'm prioritizing my life as far as like my time. So I have been neglecting this podcast, which I shouldn't, because to be honest, nothing would be happening in my life when it comes to my businesses or whatnot if it wasn't for this podcast. This podcast has been the anchor of everything I've been doing. So at the end of the day, I need to dedicate the time to what has brought me to where I am right now, brought me through this journey. So I know that I said I was going to focus on mental health diagnosis, mental health situations. I was going to focus on that, but I've got a lot of email that people said they don't want me to only focus on that. They would like me to focus on it, of course, and talk about it, but also what's going on in the media, what's going on in the world. So I decided that I think I'm going to go back to the old format I've had. I did a few years ago, which was very successful. I did like 3 podcasts a week, and one covered one thing, one, I think back then it was inspiration. One was in the media. Other was just a mental health diagnosis. And I'm going to go do that similar again, because I really feel that, it's needed, because there's a lot going on with Black men in the media right now that needs to be addressed by me. People ask me questions. I'm trying to stay quiet on things, but there's a lot going on that does affect us that I feel that I'm obligated to talk about. Last week, we had 2 incidences with Black men, and I will explain why there's a problem with these situations. First, there was a situation with Gucci Mane. Gucci Mane was robbed in his Texas studio by Pooh Shiesty and Big 30. What makes it also sad is that Pooh Shiesty's father was also involved as well. Currently, all 3 men and their accomplices are locked up. Apparently, they went into the studio with guns, held Gucci Mane up by gunpoint to sign Pooh Shiesty out of his contract with Gucci Mane. And then they robbed them of their jewelry, allegedly, because they're still in jail. They're still getting processed, so they have due process. So allegedly, this happened. Then also another incident where Offset from the Migos was shot by Little Tay owed him $10,000. So what makes this sad is that we have all these Black men are rich millionaires. Now, I don't know Pooh Shiesty or, Big 30, but they all have money. Let's just put it like that. They all are in careers that, of course, they want to do. They're celebrities in a sense, maybe some bigger than others, but in a sense, they are all celebrities. And they are choosing to go and do things that could mess up everything they worked hard for. Because there is nothing in the world that would make you think it's okay to rob anybody by gunpoint or shoot anybody and feel that I still have a career and I'm good. They are choosing the streets to dictate their actions. These are men that could be staying in 5-star hotels eating lobster every night, flying to Dubai. They're doing sold out shows. They're living a life that anybody from the hood is wishing to do to get out. But we live in this mentality in the world now, especially in the Black community, where young Black men's mentality are not to get out the hood, it's to stay in the hood, to get money just to stay in the hood and do hood things. When I was younger, right, the OGs, as we used to call them, the real OGs, the guys out there that was pimping, that was doing drugs, selling drugs or whatnot, they used to tell us little jits, what's it called, but little jits, little kids, to stay in school. The streets is not for you. They didn't encourage you to come and fuck with them. They didn't glorify what they did. At the end of the day, people did look at them and say, oh, wow, I want to be like that. Because, you know, they had the money, they had the style and stuff like that. But in general, them themselves did not say to anybody like, yo, this is the life you need to live. They would tell people not to do that, not to in any way follow their step. Get in school, get them books in, be better than me. That's what the OGs used to say. They used to say that there are only two destinations for this life. One is death or jail. There is no success story. And they accepted that fact. They knew that either they're going to go to jail or they're going to die in the game. So they lived it up as much as they can because they knew the outcome. They took care of their family and all that stuff. Now, I'm not trying to say drug dealers and pimps and things are good guys. I'm not trying to say that. But there was codes that they had. And one thing was the kids. And they never encouraged it to any kids. They always discouraged kids from doing it. I remember so many times the OGs telling me, yo, this is not the life for you. Stay in them books all the time. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't kids that haven't gotten into it. My friends that didn't do it, they did. But the OGs are telling them like, all right, cool. But you understand the risk of this lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, you rather do school, but you know, whatever. That's your choice. But I'm not going to glorify it. But today we have the young kids that are looking to get into that life, even with success. Back in my day, somebody get money, they get out the hood. But today they get money, they stay in the hood. And or still do hood things, which makes no sense. Now, what is that a mental health issue? Is it really? Or is it accountability for Black men? Making that lifestyle seem like it's cool. Depicting it through our music and our style, that being ghetto and hood is worth it. Like literally everything in the Black community that's negative, we glorify. We make it cool for our young kids. I know young kids that were raised in good areas by good parents. And they do everything to be in the hood and be ghetto. They live in houses in good areas, upper class areas, but every day run to the hood. Because what we do as a people, we glorify everything negative. Then we get mad when people go into that. There was an argument they were having. I think it was Charlie Crist, and he was having an argument that even though Black people are 13% of the population, but we are 58% of the murders and different things like that. So a lot of people argue with him saying, well, you know, systematic racism, we weren't allowed to be in zones. You know, you put that many people in a space, you know, due to poverty, all this stuff, right? But the thing is that we never take accountability for us just being shitty ass people. See, this is the thing. And he said something that was very interesting. He said back in the day, when there was segregation, when there was laws and things that were meant to stagnate the Black man and the family and stuff like that. But he said there was less crime, more families, all that stuff. And the woman said that he was talking to at the time, oh, because they were scared. So because we're not scared anymore, it's okay for us to murder our own. And see, I understand maybe some crime. you know, like robbery or things like that, because we live in poor areas. But the murder, like, you know, Chicago, LA, New York, a lot of places where gangs are killing each other. How is that rooted in discrimination? Now, somebody may sit here and tell me that at the end of the day, you know, segregation and this and that and opportunities, and I get it. But the poorest people in the world, worldwide, then that means that Asia and all these other countries will have high crime rates, killing rates, and all that, the people that are poor. I mean, you know, like I said, I could be wrong. Y'all could say, man, Cash, you're completely wrong. Statistics are high in those countries, blah, blah, blah. But in America, we don't need that. You know, I go to the hood, and at the end of the day, people ain't that damn poor in the hood. Because when I go to the hood, like my mother lives in Eaton Wall Projects, back in the day, is one of the worst projects in the Bronx. Back in the day, it was horrible. Now there's some gentrification over there. Private people bought the projects. They're not really projects anymore. They're privately owned. But anyway, it's another story. When I go to the hood, what do I see? I see everybody with a cell phone. I see girls and guys wearing the latest Jordans. I see people's hair done, cut right. I don't see bummy people just dirty walking around because life is hard, that they got a bum off everybody, robbed and all that. But everybody fly. Everybody got the newest Jordans. Everybody got their hair done, hair did, all that stuff. But the builders are bummy. They dirty them. They don't take care of them. Bullet holes, all this stuff. But everybody fly. Everybody got the latest gear. Even if you're going down to Canal Street and getting it, you know, getting the fake or whatnot, but still, that's still money. Like, people act like, oh, well, I get the knockoffs down Canal or 40 Deuce or Washington Park, whatever. But that's still money. Just because you got a pair of jeans that lure me maybe a $300-$400, but you got them down to knockoffs for like $40. That's still $40. And then you got like 8 of those pairs of jeans. Times that 8. Come on, you do the math. When your hair's dead, you got the weaving looking straight. You got the new Jordans. Everybody in the hood's fly. So it's not because poverty, because if it was poverty, then everybody be wearing Shaqs from Walmart. Because, you know what I'm saying? But they're not doing that. So you fly all that, but you choose crime. You choose ghetto-ness every day because we glorify it as cool. If somebody is not on that level of the ghetto-ness, they lames. Women don't like lames, so dudes don't want to be lame. So cool, you have this rotating cycle. And then when kids are born, we're teaching our kids this life as it's supposed to be. We're not trying to say they should be better. Just because you come from the hood don't mean you want your kid to be in the hood. Now, Poe Shiesty's dad, his dad, not his boy, not his cousin, his dad went with him to do this, allegedly. So we and it's not about mental health. You know, there are a lot of things I will sit and say that our behavior is mental health problems and people don't recognize it. There's a lot I've said before, but this being ghetto, that's not a mental health. That's a choice. That is an absolute choice. And people are being ghetto and being hood for no reason. And these young men got talent, like Keith Vaughn. Like, the kid he could have been a great rapper. But he was choosing the streets to kill. And for what? What is the prize that is so big that is worth taking somebody's life? It's not like, and I'm not excusing it, but it's not like I take that dude's life, I get his whole fortune. I take this dude's life, my family eating. And these guys, I mean, no, this is just ghetto-ness. Little Tay shot Offset for 10 bands that he owes him. Now, I don't know why Offset is owing so many people, because Ebor came out and said he owed him $5,000 and all that. I'm sure other people come out. So I don't understand why he's taking money from other people, but that's another discussion probably. But at the end of the day, you are shooting somebody off of debt, off for money. Now, apparently, they said Offset told him. He asked him for the money. He said, oh, come get in, blood. But, like, at the end of the day, like, you are on another level of life. Why are you entertaining this ghetto nonsense? Like, see, the thing is, black man, we have to take accountability. Now, I sit here and make excuses all day long and understand why we do things. But this right here makes no damn sense. People fighting over blocks that they don't even own. It's not like I shoot this person, I get his property or something, you know? At least, you know, in Africa, you know, they go attack a tribe. They get all their property and their resources and their land and their women and shit. They're getting something. We're just shooting niggas because, oh, he stepped on my shoe. He disrespected me. He owed me some dough. The dumbest things in the world. And we're engaging in that. And we actually are glorifying it as it's cool. We had music at a time where music was just about saying what happens in the hood, right? NWA and Ice-T, and they used to talk about what was going on in their hoods, what they saw, or what they used to do. They don't do that no more. But now they're talking about what they're currently doing, and they are actually doing it. And you have so many black men, young black men getting killed out here for what? For respecting the hood, for talking shit on Twitter. It's not even a drug game anymore where, like, yo, we taking over this, and I'm not justifying it, but I'm saying, you know, oh, you know, we got to kill these dudes because they're our rival. Once we kill them, we take it over their business. We make more money. It's not even that anymore. Niggas is killing each other just because, like, yo, I don't like you, or you in a gang I don't like, so I'm going to kill you. Then innocent people are getting caught in the drive-by. But we want to be out here protesting about cops killing black people. But statistically, we kill each other way more than any cops do. Now, is that a problem? Yeah. But it's not our biggest problem in the black community. Our biggest problem is us. But we sit here and do dumb things. We don't even have role models anymore like that. And what I mean is these people got out the hood to improve their lives. That should be inspiration. But instead of them being inspiration, they want to, quote unquote, keep it real and do dumb stuff to land in jail. And then what we do as a culture, they get more credibility because they went to jail. Oh, that's gangster. They get more respect. Other cultures shun people that do wrong. And when they have their underground, like Jabbies got the Yakusi and all that stuff, they don't sit there and promote it as a cultural, embedded in their culture. They want to promote it. They put it on TVs and, whoa, yeah, this is cool. No. But that's what we do. So you got these young men out here thinking, like, even when I get money, you know, these people are performing in front of hundreds of people, thousands of people, touring the country, seeing things that me and you probably never seen in our lives. But they choose to say, oh, well, I'm going to do some ghetto shit that's going to get me caught. And at the end of the day, with media and everything going on, how did you think you was going to get away with something like that? How do you think you're going to shoot somebody, you're going to get away with it? Or are you going to rob somebody and get away with it? Like, how do they do that? Why do they do that? So at the end of the day, I think it's very important that we understand that, like, as black men, we got to take accountability for this stuff. We got to take accountability for what's going on right now, because we don't. Now, in my book, Men Are Meant to Be Broken, people expected my book to be all about bashing women. That's what they expected when they got it. Oh, Men Are Meant to Be Broken. Oh, woe's the man, the woman, and the white man. Everybody's evil. But then people were surprised when they read it, and it was talking about a black man taking accountability. Because we're in a unique position. We're the most desirable person, the most feared people, right? We're in a particular situation. But the problem is that we have to recognize the problem and don't cry about it. Take accountability for what we're doing to escalate the problem we have. At the end of the day, yeah, I can sit here all day talking about baby mamas and all that, but we could literally control on our end who becomes our mother of our children. Now, women, That's a whole nother thing. And you know, they got their accountability they have to talk about. But I'm talking about us. And there's a lot of things we could do to control our narrative, and we don't. We don't take accountability. And see, the problem is that we live in a society where we want this fairness. But if you look all through history, life is never fair. There's never a point in anybody's life that's fair, whether it's because of gender, race, sexual orientation, religious ideas, whatever. There's never been a point in our history where everybody has been equal and everything's been fair. So we have to understand the game we're playing and say, okay, this game is not my game, but I have to play it correctly so I win. Just because the board is not in your favor, it doesn't mean you can't win. The way people win is that they study the board and understand it and play it. They play the game. See, black men don't want to play the game no more. We're tired of playing the game, but at the end of the day, that's all we have to do, because there's no scenario that we win the game if we're not playing the game. Because the game is already rigged against us. And the thing is, we have to recognize that it's rigged against us. And once we recognize that, then we can play the game properly. But at the end of the day, all you do is play into their hands, all that stuff. Who makes money off of our violence? Who makes money off of our negativity? It's not us. People make money off of our negativity. That's why they promote it so much. That's why they encourage it so much. It's not even, I don't even think people are racist anymore. I think people just see opportunity. I just think people see us and say, shit, if I get this guy that done killed 4 people on the low, put a sword out, he's going to make millions of dollars now, whether he, and then put insurance on him as a record label, put insurance on him because I already know he's high risk. So when he die, the record label makes $2-4 million off of your death. Because they already know this is the route you're going. They make $3-6 million off that ghetto song from the streaming, because everybody in the hood is doing the dance. So at the end of the day, our negativity is a $1 billion industry for other people. Like, at least one thing is, at least, you know, we're going to do all the bullshit. We get all the money from it. At least, you know, we get all the benefits from it. But no, we get none of it. Our negativity is a $1 billion business for other people. And we keep doing it. Our whole culture right now that we adopted is owned by other cultures that they make money off of it. There is no popular trend that women and men wear that's owned by black people. From our clothing, people rocking Louis, you know what I'm saying? Red bottoms, Prada, Gucci, Coach, Balenciaga, Christian Louboutin, all of these brands, we don't own none of them. We own none of these brands, but we promote the hell out of them. Then we buy the liquor, the cigarettes, the weed, all that. None of it that is in our culture is presented and funded by us. Nothing. We are a money maker for other cultures. And the more negative we come, the more money they make. So at the end of the day, what we have to understand is that we have to take accountability for what we do. Those two situations that happened, there is no excuse, no mental health excuse, no, you know what I'm saying? No subliminal racism, none of that stuff excuses those situations. We kill each other off, but we don't kill nobody else. Now, I'm not saying that, and I'm not saying that we should go kill anybody. We should go kill, you know what I'm saying? We should go kill any white people or Asian people. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is that, you know, when we do dirt, we do it to our own people. I am more afraid to go to a black club than I'm in a white club. When I was in college, I believe I told the story before. They had something called Kegs and Eggs, where they do every day, where like it starts at like 5 o'clock. It's crazy, right? They 5 o'clock a.m. they start drinking and stuff. It's crazy, right? Whole bunch of white people going crazy. It's an annual thing in Albany, New York, right? Go to that. You go to that, or just general, go to any white club, right? You go in there, nothing but love. Dude, you want a beer? Dude, you want a drink? I got you. Women are having a great time. Guys are bonding, having a good time. The chicks are flowing. They want to meet somebody, have a good time. All this stuff. Just nothing but love. Go to the Black Club. I got to worry about who's around. I got to worry about colors, baby. I got to worry about the style of my clothes that may offend. I got to worry about if my clothes are too fly, there may be somebody in there that's looking to rob me. I got to think about how I'm going to get to the car, because if I came by myself, then if I'm rocking Jordans or something, you know what I'm saying? I'm by myself. You know, I'm walking to the car by myself. I could get robbed depending on who's in the club. I got to worry about maybe there are girls out there setting me up. Or just in general, trying to meet a girl, she got an attitude. Now, I'm not saying these things can't happen at white clubs. So I don't want people to say, damn, Cash, you think highly of white people. White people don't do no crime. No, nobody's saying that at all. But it's more likely in a Black club than it is in a white club. And I'm speaking from experience, okay? I've been in both clubs all around the country. And to be completely honest, the white clubs are more welcoming and have a good time. They're there to party and have a good time. That's what they're there to do. Black people, they're there to start some shit, to beef, to see what's up, what's popping. They ready to fight. They looking at people hard. They there dancing and having a good time. They there to look at somebody hard and see what's up. Yeah, they want to get chicks, but they more into like, yo, looking cool. You know what I'm saying? With my niggas, you know what I'm saying? We popping bottles, but somebody come, we gonna handle them. I mean, it's a very aggressive environment. And you may say, well, Black people are aggressive. And you know what? That's fine. We can be aggressive. But at the end of the day, the aggression, it goes from aggression to assault, to robbery, to murder, to disrespect. And people make money off of that because they put it in songs. So that's the culture that people follow, because those are the songs. These kids are like, oh, yeah, I want to rock with that. That's a real nigga right there. That's real. Yeah. And they do it. They emulate it. I was living with my wife a few days ago, and I said to myself, is adulthood really lessons you learn and you're acting a certain way in life? Or is it the kid in you just doing the traits that they say it is to be an adult? Sometimes I feel as if I'm acting as an adult, that I'm not really an adult. I'm still that kid, that 14, 15 year old kid. And now I've learned things that people say I need to do to be recognized as an adult. And I do that. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm acting that way. And that got me deeper thinking about, are these young men out here, sometimes grown men, were taught from young that this is what it is to be an adult. This is what it is that you have to do to be respected. And they're just mimicking this stuff. Because common sense will tell you that robbing somebody is not going to further your career. Shooting somebody is not going to further your career. You're going to lose money. So at the end of the day, is these men, kids, just trying to act the way they feel grown people act? But at the end of the day, why are we killing each other? Why are we doing crimes to each other? We need to protect ourselves. We need to protect each other. See, there needs to be some type of boundaries and standards that we have as the Black community. We have to take accountability, Black men, for our actions. We got to either call ourselves out and call others out, then they're not upholding what it is to be a man. We have to be accountable. It's a shame that millionaires or people that are well off are going to jail in jail right now because of dumb ass decision to quote unquote keep it real. Who are you keeping it real to? Who are you trying to impress? Who are you trying to do things for where you keep it real? Like, that doesn't make no sense to me. Being in that game, keeping it real, what is it doing for you? Nothing. But they keeping it real. But if that's keeping it real, I want to keep it fake. I won't be 100% fake because it's not worth it. Nothing is worth my life. Nothing is worth my freedom. Nothing is worth me being away from my family. Nothing is worth me messing up my money. Nothing is worth nothing. Nothing is worth it. Nothing is worth it at all. Because at the end of the day, because of you, quote unquote, keeping it real, you messed up not only your life, people around you that depend on you, your kids, your wife, if you have, or your girl, your family, you letting everybody down because you want to keep it real. Now people are in jail. Now people are in jail. Now people are suffering aftermath because of that. And that makes no sense. All right, guys. I appreciate you listening to me. Yo, go to CastleWolves.com. Check me out. Check out everything I'm doing, my podcast. Yo, I'm doing my podcast, my other podcast, Achieving Success, and my other podcast on podcasting. So I'm still working on those as well. So I have a lot of content coming. Also, you know, my YouTube channel is going to start popping with the blogging. Go to CoupleChris.com where you see our Chris with me and my wife. Me and we are working on Divorce Not an Option. We're going to bring that back as well. Check out my Instagram, Castle Williams, where you follow the artists I manage and what I'm doing. Always keep that updated daily. So at the end of the day, yeah, if you're in New York, though, if you're in New York, Corey St. Rose's and Newbie Jeans in downtown on downtown Manhattan, I believe in the Soto area, I'm not quite sure. But if you go to CoreyStRose.com, CoreyStRose.com, you could check out an RSVP for the events. The 23rd is on Thursday. It must be crazy. We already got over 600 people that RSVP for it. So at the end of the end, we got more. We got celebrities coming through. We got, you know, celebrity DJs, the Hot 97 DJs. We got a lot of people on the ASAP people coming through. We have a lot of things happening. So definitely check it out. Keep up with me. Don't be afraid to go to Castle Williams on Instagram. You can inbox me. I always respond back. And like I said, we're going to keep these podcasts going. This is going to be part of my daily thing. I'm going to do a podcast. I'm going to drop about 3 a week on different things. One's going to be on mental health and diagnosis. One's going to be on what's going on lately. And I don't know what the third is going to be about. I'm going to sit down and think about it, but I'm going to start it this week. So rock with me. Listen to me. I love that y'all been rocking with me for so long. I really appreciate y'all. I really appreciate everything y'all have done in your comments. I read them. Trust me, I do. All right. Until next time.